Scripture reading is from Romans chapter 5. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Justin Kunkel is a transfer student, pre-seminary major, and for this particular week when we're doing alcohol and drug awareness, we've asked Justin to come and share his story. Please welcome Justin.
First and foremost, the fact that I'm even standing in front of you today, alive, breathing, having the ability to speak and hear and think is a miracle, and it's only due to the mere grace and mercy of God, for I do not deserve to be here. What I do deserve is to be in hell at this very moment. Some of you may be thinking, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God shown towards filthy, rotten, pitiful sinners such as myself. This grace came down to us 2,010 years ago in a human form in the person of Jesus Christ. But before I speak of the good, sin-atoning, sin-forgiving, sin-taking-away work of Jesus Christ, I must first speak about the bad, sin-committing work of me, Justin Kunkel. I grew up in a suburb of Allentown, PA called Whitehall. My neighborhood might have looked like many of yours. No drug dealers on the corner, no homeless men begging for change, no sound of gunshots, no hookers strolling up and down the alleys. One could not see the utter devastation that drugs and alcohol cause that easily. This made it much easier for me to think that I could play around with drugs and alcohol and not become addicted. I was badly mistaken. At the tender age of 14, 9 years ago, I smoked weed for the first time, drank alcohol for the first time, and smoked cigarettes for the first time. When I took a drink or smoked weed, it took me up out of myself. I absolutely hated to be in my own skin. I couldn't stand myself. I couldn't stand the way I felt. I couldn't stand what I thought other people thought about me. And I got a question for you guys here today. Does anybody in here hate being in their own skin? Because if you do, I've got good news for you. I found the way out. The way out is through bowing down and worshiping the false counterfeit gods of drugs and alcohol. They provide security, peace, happiness, joy, grant confidence, make your life more exciting, and they definitely grant relief from depression and anxiety. But these blessings are all in the short term. Of course. When I was not on drugs and alcohol, I was very shy and quiet, so much so that my friends gave me the nickname of mute, because I hardly spoke at all, even if it was just to one other person, let alone 1,000. Although I did not start using every day at this point, I was drinking a couple times a month at the age of 14 and smoking cigarettes almost every day. Alcohol and tobacco are what some call, alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana are what some call the gateway drugs. The gateway theory suggests that if you start using less dangerous drugs, such as weed and alcohol, that you're going to gradually progress into using harder drugs, such as cocaine and heroin. And this theory proved itself true in my life, as you will see. My family was oblivious to the fact that I was using at this point. Why was that? Because I was very cunning. I was very sneaky, like any good addict. We are really good at hiding our addiction. What was my family like, you may be thinking? Well, my family was not dysfunctional at all. They raised me with good morals. They wanted me to have a good work ethic. They didn't want me to do drugs. Now, they weren't Christians, but they were not using or influencing me or suggesting that I live any kind of immoral lifestyle. So what does that mean? That means I'm not a victim of my family and the way they raised me, and that means I can't blame who I am and what I did and what I chose to do on my family. or any of my childhood experiences, nor do I hold to the disease model of addiction, so I cannot say that my disease made me do it or influenced me to make the choice to choose to do drugs and alcohol. I take full responsibility for what I have done. By the time I entered my freshman year of high school, I began to drink and use drugs on more of a regular basis. I can remember smoking weed, taking bong hits to be exact, on the way to school with my friend Nick Marino and his Pontiac Bonneville. We did this several times a week. This activity, coupled with drinking more often and having a very apathetic attitude towards learning, I didn't care about learning, affected my grades in a tremendous way, as you might guess, right? I failed ninth grade. I even failed summer school. I even failed gym because I refused to get changed. And I failed ninth grade and had to go to summer school every summer after that until I graduated. Upon entering my sophomore year, I can remember thinking that I had a problem, but in denial, I quickly suppressed that truth. During this time, in my sophomore year, I tried ecstasy and PCP for the first time also. So you can see that gateway theory starting to prove itself true. Now I'm gradually progressing into using harder drugs. In the midst of all this self-wrought chaos, though, I actually made a good decision when I was in high school. I decided to go to technical school because I knew that college wasn't for me, and I knew I didn't have good enough grades to get into college, nor did I care about college at that point. I just wanted to graduate and start working and making money. Fast forward to my senior year, my addiction was getting worse at this point, even though I did manage to pull my grades up, and I landed a co-op job in a print shop. What I went to Votech for was printing. I learned how to run small printing presses. And in my senior year, I went to my high school, Whitehall High School, for the first half of the day. And then the second half, I went to Votech and worked, ran a printing press the rest of the day. But it was in my senior year that I stumbled upon and tried heroin and cocaine for the first time. No longer at this point did drugs grant me those emotional blessings that I first mentioned, such as excitement, joy, peace, relief from depression and anxiety. Actually, it heightened the antithesis of those emotional feelings, and I was a mess. And let me tell you of the wonderful blessings that came from bowing down and worshiping the false god of heroin. I've been to 9 different inpatient rehabs. I've been to the same halfway house twice. I overdosed once on heroin in front of my mom. And she was afraid to call the ambulance because she was worried about what the neighbors would think if they saw a police car and an ambulance in front of our house. But thanks be to God, she did. I spent numerous nights out on the streets of Allentown, PA, which is kind of a rough city to be in. I've been on different kinds of medications, 4 different kinds of antidepressants, and if someone needs an antidepressant, if you can rule out that it's not sin or anything else, I have nothing against that. But in my case, I didn't give myself enough time off of the drugs to see how I really felt and how my brain would really work. I didn't really need them. I just used them as a crutch. Been to different psychologists. But this is only due to the grace of God also, just like everything in my life. I never ended up in jail. Now, most people with a past like me, you would think, man, he had to get arrested a few times. He's got a rap sheet, a big record. I have none. And that is a miracle in itself. But though I didn't realize it at the time, when I would leave these rehabs, I would replace drugs with other false or counterfeit gods, as Tim Keller says, that are more socially acceptable. What are these? I'd replace it with money, the approval of other people. I was desperate for the approval of other people, even if I had to be fake and act like somebody that I really wasn't. Material things, comfort, the need to feel happy all the time in my work. And my work allowed me to therefore make money, which would therefore allow me to buy those material things that I thought would desperately satisfy me. To use Keller's language, I uprooted one false god and planted other ones in the same spot of my heart. According to Tim Keller, Tim Keller's a man who inspired the theme for chapel this year. The theme is, you got to serve somebody. He would say that I failed to plant the love of Christ in the place of the false god, and the false god grew back. So here's a test for you guys, Geneva, to see if you have any false gods in your life. Listen closely, please, to the quote from Tim Keller's book. In Keller's book, Counterfeit Gods, he states that a counterfeit god is anything so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would hardly feel worth living. An idol has such a controlling position in your heart that you can spend most of your passion and energy, your emotional and financial resources on it without a second thought. Does anything come to mind? I'm sure it does, because we all have idols in our lives. And even though I'm speaking of this in the past tense with idols, as a Christian now I can still struggle with different forms of idolatry. And so in the span of 5 years, I kept running back to heroin and looking for something that only Christ could supply. God showed me, or revealed to me, who this Christ was, who this Messiah was, in Teen Challenge of Western PA during the winter of 2007. Now, Teen Challenge was the 10th place facility that I went to try to get help for my addiction, but this place was different. It was a Christian program. First time I heard the gospel was at this place, which I'm going to explain here in a minute. First time I read the Bible, various other things. But upon Teen Challenge is a year long. Also, you have to work there. You got to work to pay for your stay. It's a really good place. It's the vessel God used to reveal himself to me. But entering Teen Challenge, I was hopeless, helpless, desperate, broken. No longer were these false gods, like I mentioned before, providing joy, excitement, or anything like that anymore. It was all short-lived. God caused all the negative consequences or circumstances in my life, I believe, in order for me to see my need to even go to Teen Challenge. And therefore, in Teen Challenge, he showed me that I needed to repent. Repent means to turn from or to change your mind, my mind, about my sin. Look outside myself for once and trust in him. Upon Teen Challenge, though, I had some false ideas of who God was, naturally, because natural man makes up his own God in his own mind, and I was definitely a natural man at that point. I had false ideas of who he was and how to get right with him. First, I thought that before I could come to this God who's holy, righteous, and just, and cannot tolerate sin, I thought, well, I have to clean myself up first before I go to him, or I'll be just rejected. But I was wrong. And like the scripture passage that Dr. Smith read, Paul lets us know how wrong I was. Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. You see, at just the right time, God's timing is always perfect. When I was still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, and I definitely was ungodly, still am, underneath the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified or declared or reckoned or counted righteous by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Oh, wrath. I did not think, naturally, that God, who I heard from most people is just loving, which he is. It says that in 1 John, God is love. I did not think that one of the attributes of God was wrath. In Teen Challenge, I also learned that that is one of his attributes of God, and he needs to stay like that in order to keep sin out of his presence. False idea number two about who God was and is that I thought the way to get right with God now after living a life full of sin and wickedness was to start doing good works, and on Judgment Day, when God would weigh me in the balance, he wouldn't find me wanting. He would see that I did more good works than bad works, and he would let me in. After all, God is merciful and forgiving too, right? Yes, God is merciful and forgiving, but it is costly for him to be so. God is out to protect his own integrity, and he cannot forgive without satisfying his justice at the same time. This is something else I was learning in Teen Challenge early on. In the person and work of Christ alone, we find God being able to stay just and yet forgive filthy sinners, hell-deserving, wrath-deserving sinners like myself. John says it better than me. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. His love was coming from him towards us. He saw nothing in me worthy for him to show me his love. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friend, verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay, that word propitiation there is important. I did not think words and stuff like that was important before, obviously, you know, because I didn't care about school and learning. But that's an important word to learn, and I learned it early on in Teen Challenge. Jesus Christ was a propitiation for my sins. What that means is he deflected or turned aside the holy and just wrath of God that was due me, and he absorbed it in his own body on the tree. On the cross for 3 hours, Christ absorbed, soaked up the holy and just indignation of God that was due me. He was my substitute upon the cross. And this allows God to stay just because he pours out and punishes sin, and he can then therefore forgive me. And another thing I think that's important that's taught in this passage is the fact that John first states a fact, indicates a fact, an objective truth that, yes, Christ was a propitiation for your sins. Then he says, dear friends, since this is true, we also ought to love one another. If we want to learn, or I want to know how to live right for God, first I need to think right about God so I have a firm foundation under my feet. Do remember, though, that before, and this is something else I was learning in Teen Challenge, before Jesus went to the cross and became my substitute and bore the wrath of God that was due me, he earned for me something else that was needed for entrance into heaven, and that's righteousness. From birth on up until age 33, Jesus Christ earned a righteousness for me and for all out there who are trusting not in themselves but in him that is needed to enter into heaven. I needed more than just my sins to be forgiven. I needed to be declared or looked at as perfectly righteous in God's sight. Christ earned this righteousness for me by living a life of perfect obedience to the holy and just requirements of God the Father, or the Ten Commandments that I break on a daily basis, and I probably broke a couple of them today already. God credits this righteousness to be mine through faith alone. And this is the good news of the gospel. This is good news. It's not good advice. This actually happened in space and time and in history 2,010 years ago. And like what Francis Schaeffer said, had I been near his cross at the time, I could have rubbed my hand on it and got a splinter. It was real. Jesus Christ really walked this earth, the God-man. So a great exchange took place on the cross. God took the punishment for my sins and placed them upon Christ, and then he laid the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon me. And that only makes sense, too, if you think about it, for it would be unjust if God the Father punished Jesus Christ who was a righteous man. The righteousness that Jesus earned or had was given to me first, and then my sins were laid upon him, and on the cross it was a just punishment because God looked at him as if he was a sinner and treated him as if he was a sinner. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In sum, I learned here at Teen Challenge early on, this really began to start to change me, I remember. God can declare me righteous and worthy to enter into heaven because of the work of Christ. No amount of good deeds will ever get me in. And this truth is what I needed to plant in my heart in the place of all those other idols. Once these biblical truths began to take root in my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, taking that truth and driving it from my mind into my heart, I really started to notice a change with me in the way I thought of others. As I continued on in Teen Challenge, I began to have an interest in studying the Scriptures, which is a sign that somebody has been born again, a regenerate by the Holy Spirit. Through studying the Bible, I noticed that God could use any kind of person, no matter what their background, for his service and his glory. After all, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy verse 15 and 16 said he was the chief, the foremost of sinners, and that was at the end of his life. So that's good news for me. The Holy Spirit was moving me to get involved and help out other men in the program at this point, too. This was all during my time as a student. After graduating the program, after the required 1 year of stay, I went back to Teen Challenge to serve in a variety of ways for 2 full years. Furthermore, during my time serving at Teen Challenge, God decided to grant my mother the gift of repentance and faith, so she too became a Christian. I really began to notice a calling from God to serve full-time in some sort of ministry, any kind. This prompted me to start taking classes here at Geneva, although Geneva didn't let me in at first, because my grades and my GPA from high school was not good at all. So they said, hey, look, you got to go to CCAC, Community College of Allegheny County, and see how you do for a semester. Well, by the grace of God, I did very well, and I left Teen Challenge last winter and started taking classes here last spring semester. By the grace of God, my family's back in my life. We enjoy our time together. God's also in the work of restoring things, such as families. It feels so good to be trusted again. Now, although I just mentioned how God is transforming me, this process of transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit comes at a price. That price being the ever-increasing realization and conviction of the other deep-rooted sins that still remain in me, such as pride, jealousy, covetousness, worry, anxiety, and the like. The list just goes on and on and on. So yes, God has transformed me by the power of the Spirit in major ways. He has taken the desire to use drugs and alcohol from me, that deep obsession to use drugs and alcohol from me. Yes, I'll think about it from time to time. But I have not, by the grace of God, had that deep, gut-wrenching desire to use drugs for years now. But he works like this alongside convicting me of the other deep-rooted sins that still remain in my heart. And I believe he works like this so that I don't forget the cross even almost 4 years later. I didn't just need the cross of Christ when I first trusted him for the first time. I need him today and the cross today just as much as I did almost 4 years ago. And how am I going to see my need for the cross? I'm only going to see my need for the cross in Christ if God still convicts me of those other deep-rooted sins that are still in my heart, so that I only can boast in him and I can't take any glory for anything. So any good that you see in me is only the fruit of the Spirit, and it's God working in and through me. If you see any bad in me, that's me. That's natural old Adam me coming out. And like I said, he does this so that I can boast only in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. It is because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness. Remember righteousness that I was talking about? Holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So to sum up my message here today, I'd like to just say that there's hope to get off drugs and alcohol, even when you feel like there is no hope. And if there's anyone in here today that's struggling with drinking or drugs or pornography or any other kind of addiction, please, if you see me around, talk to me, stop me, I'll listen to you. I wish I could have time to give out my phone number or email address or something, because we could do it anonymously if you'd like to do it like that. But just believe me, there's hope. But that hope only comes from looking away from yourself into the cross of Christ. And to everybody out here who doesn't struggle with addiction, please be a person that would be willing and open and have enough concern and love for people that do struggle with drug addiction. Sometimes an addict or an alcoholic just needs someone to listen to them. And you don't have to have had a past in drug and alcohol addiction to help somebody that is struggling with drugs and alcohol. It might seem totally foreign to you, but the thing we all have in common is Christ, and he can break down those uncomfortable barriers and walls. So the grace I was talking about in the beginning is offered to everybody here today. The grace that God offered me is available to everybody here. And for all the Christians out there, keep pressing on, trusting in Christ. Remember Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And for all the people who are not Christians, know that only the wrath of God abides on you. And today you could repent and trust in Him for the first time. Pray with me. Father, we know that we don't deserve to be here. We do not deserve anything from you but to be in hell and to feel your just weight of your wrath and hatred towards sin. But that bad news is there and felt in order to make the good news of the cross of Christ that much more better and glorious and satisfying to our souls. So help us, illumine us more and more by the power of your Holy Spirit to see Jesus Christ for who he really is. In Jesus' name, amen.